with Wally and Flip, the Routines Pod.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wally and Flip.
I'm Wally.
And I'm Flip, and welcome back to another episode. This week was tough for me because I'm still recovering from U.S. Nationals. I did not watch most of Europeans live.
I definitely watch more than you, Flip.
Live?
Yes, live even. But, you know, it was one of those things that I was watching it, but how much was I absorbing?
Exactly. And I did watch most of it. It's just I wasn't watching live. So I would actually look at the results like completely blind. So it was almost just as exciting as watching it live, like opening the results page and having no idea what you're about to see.
There were some shocks. Like, especially I think the men in ice dance. That's where it got a little interesting yesterday.
Totally. Can we start with men? And maybe can I first just walk through some of the thoughts that went through my head as I opened the results page?
Yes.
Okay. First thought, Georgi Rushtank who? Rushtank where? Rushtank when?
Georgi, who made a big stink at the Chinese Nebelhorn.
And that's when it all came back to me. It's all coming back to me now. Spoiler, I guess, for future discussion in the episode. If you know, you know. Yeah, he was the one who had a little outburst after not qualifying for the Olympics.
Yeah, and I did not know that until after the fact. I totally forgot about that.
Because I started to look up about him. I was like, what's his story? And then it all came back to me. He's a young skater. Everyone has their moments. Everyone has their outbursts. So I'm going to put that aside. When something like this happens to a small Fed skater, we didn't even level set. Georgi Rushtenko of Czech landed in third place here. But that's the exact type of big break a skater needs from a small federation. Like, we could likely see him on the Grand Prix next year. He can start to garner world standing points. He could become a staple in men's figure skating. Sometimes that's all you need is one big break. Find yourself on the scene. Looking at his previous scores, though, I don't know how much that will happen. Yeah. But again, like, this is such a confidence booster.
Can we level set on the podium? Because right now I'm kind of blacked out and I forgot who got second.
We have Nika Egadze of Georgia in first. Matteo Rizzo of Italy in second, and then of course Georgi Rushtenko in third. Can I say another thought I had when I opened the results?
What happened to Daniel?
Oh my god, yes. Are you reading my mind? I'm scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, and I'm like, what happened? Did he withdraw? No, my friends, Daniel Grassel landed himself in 13th place overall.
I mean, his free score was like 130.
Really, really horrible.
And I just want to say, Daniel, I'm finally like getting on Daniel's side. I'm like off the Grand Prix final, really impressed with him. He was being such a good sport there. Finally decide to root for him, and then
he had a bad skate. And here's what I'll tell you. Sometimes I think you need to flop to fly. And we could see a completely different Daniel Grassel here in 3 weeks' time at the Olympics. And I, in fact, think we will.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you are going to have a bad skate, have it at Euros. I maybe would be happy about that if that meant that I wouldn't have as much pressure.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing for sure.
Did you watch the part where he becomes the Pope? It was so like lackluster this time because he messed up the jump before and he had to just like walk and rip open a shirt.
He was like the most sad anointed Pope I've ever seen.
It was sad. I felt bad for him.
But the Italian men here are so interesting. I mean, if you would have told me Matteo Rizzo would have landed himself in the silver medal position here at Europeans a few months ago, I would say you're crazy.
Yeah, that was a fantastic skate.
I know. Now, we can't ignore Nicola Memola, who unfortunately landed himself in 11th here. Based on what Italy has said leading up to this competition, this was going to be the decider of whether it will be Matteo or Nicola joining Daniel Grassel at the Olympics. With Matteo's rock star performance here, I would say he's almost certainly going to the Olympics. And one thing I need to say about the Italian men, like, I actually do appreciate them all, even though none of them are like the most pleasant skaters to watch.
Matteo is the most pleasant.
I agree with that. He doesn't have those beautiful classic lines or deep knee bend or anything like that that can often make a skater like look very pleasant. But what I'll give them, all three of them, including Daniel, they all have so much heart.
Totally.
Did you see Nicola Memola's interview with Goldskate?
I did not.
Okay. So mature, so level-headed. I'm so impressed by him. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, obviously, but some highlights here. He said, the Nikolai from September would have been kicking the ice. I would have dropped everything, started crying, screaming at my mom. But right now I'm super, super happy. Basically saying nothing more he could have done, given how his past couple of months have been with the injury. He also said he will be likely still attending the Olympics, even though he's not making the team, to cheer on his fellow teammates and skaters. And I like fully believe he's going to be there cheering them on, like with so much heart.
100%. And I mean, first off, I think Europeans was just riddled with injuries.
Yeah. Oh my
God. I know we're going to get to women later, but what an unfortunate time to get them. I mean, it's always unfortunate, but when you're working hard towards something that only happens every 4 years, it sucks. Yeah. So that's a hard pill to swallow and very mature of him.
And that being said, like, it was still a respectable performance, like, given the situation.
Yeah, so I missed, like, the first few jumping passes. I was in the other room, and when I came in, I saw it was all green. Oh. And I was like, oh, wow, he's doing it. And then I realized it was, like, a triple Lutz.
Right. Like, yeah, wasn't at full difficulty. I mean, and like he said it best. This was the best I could have done in this moment.
Yeah, nothing to be ashamed of there.
Let's also call out the celeb bros. So Alexander Selevko landed himself in fifth place and Mikhail Selevko in sixth. This was also like another skate off to determine who will be going to the Olympics. And Alexander Selevko with just a little over 2 points overall total from Mikhail appears, I imagine, it will be going to the Olympics.
If I was the Estonian Olympic, whoever selects their Olympic spots, I would have to pick Alexander.
Well, he won nationals.
Right. And he's had a knockout season. He medaled at his Grand Prix. He deserves it. What sucks is that they can never get two spots for like the Worlds or Olympics. That's what sucks.
I know. And even last year, I thought, I was like, well, I think if they would have sent Alex, like he would have had a better chance at getting in the top 10. But it's always, it's like coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, like we have no idea what could have happened. But Alex just has historically like been a little bit more consistent than Mikhail. He's your European is he a silver medalist from 2024?
Thought it was a silver.
It is in fact a silver. You have to make your selections based off of results. And like Mikhail obviously outperformed Alex last season, which is why he represented Estonia at Worlds. But I don't know. I guess Alex might have not even have made the free skate. So who knows?
No. I do prefer Alexander skating for the most part.
And we haven't even spoken about the winner yet in Mika Egadze. If we would have predicted the winners in our last episode, which we didn't, I probably actually would have predicted Daniel Grassl. But like Mika would have been a close second for me in my prediction. So this isn't surprising.
No. And there has to be a point where Mika finally like even medals at Europeans, because I believe he hasn't, correct?
He's never medaled.
Yeah, so it's about time.
And he also somewhat successfully performed his quad Lutz here. And I say somewhat successfully because he has positive GOE, but like it looked a little bit sketch in real time, and then it looked even more sketch in slow-mo, both the outside edge and the rotation. Nothing was called.
So I have a few things about Nika. I'm finding his skating slightly more enjoyable. Would you agree?
No.
Okay.
But I appreciate him as a person.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I watched his gala performance today too. It wasn't like great, but he's trying. And I'm like, oh, I think he's growing on me. And then I'm like, why do I not like Mika? And I know why. It's not his fault. It's a Terry.
It's a Terry. And it's also like, he's so similar to Morrissey. Mm-hmm. And I never was a fan of Morrissey either. And again, I always appreciated Morrissey as a person. He seemed like a fun guy to be around. That's fine and well. But as a skater, I really don't enjoy it. Same with Nika. So I agree with you. I mean, I don't know. He's just so, he's not even pleasant to watch. So
could we chat about the changes in spots for next year's Europeans? Because I find this to be shocking.
So let's level set on the Frenchmen here. We have Kevin Amos again, nowhere to be found. He did not qualify for the free skate. He had a score of 53. He fell four times. Our other Frenchman, Francois Pitot, landed himself in 16th, and that's the only other Frenchman who was skating here. With Francois in 16th, France only will have one spot at Europeans next year. Now, do they need more than one spot? Because is Kevin going to continue? He said he wants to continue. Whether he actually will do another full season right after this year, who knows? Adam, I imagine, is going to continue. He still feels so young, even though I think he's like 25. Certainly Francois Pitot is going to continue. He's so young. I would hope he would.
Definitely.
Now, did you have like any reaction watching Kevin Amos's short program? I mean, I personally had no reaction. Like, it was not a surprise to me. It was like, oh, he's back.
It was a little surprising.
I mean, it always is.
Yeah.
I guess deep down, it's like, yeah.
But it seemed like he knew it was going to happen. That's the energy he gave me after the skate, which is not always the case when he has those types of performances.
He didn't seem disappointed. He seemed accepting.
Right.
Which is a good positive thing that he can move forward and hopefully do well at the Olympics. All right. So there's a lot of changes in spots for next year at Europeans.
Correct. Ukraine and Israel will now have two spots, as well as Czechia. And then Estonia and Georgia will now have three. I'm not sure I know even that many skaters from some of those federations.
Georgia, definitely not. But from Estonia, we have Arlette Lavandi.
Oh, how could I forget?
Yes. He's always has very interesting material. I think he could be ultimately like a staple in the men's field in the next few years. So what a great opportunity for him. The tables are turning. And I guess Italy still has three spots. That's positive. That's yes. Very positive.
Theirs did not change.
All right. Should we move on to ice dance?
Yes. That was an interesting one.
Let's just quickly level set on the podium. We have Laurence Fournier-Boudry and Guillaume Cizeron in first, Guignard and Fabry of Italy in second, and Lila Thier and Lewis Gibson in third of Great Britain. That's a big shock to me. Granted, of course, like Lila and Lewis had the twizzle mistake in the free skate, which is what costs them the silver medal.
Right. And in general, they were not on this weekend.
They did not look good. I watched the rhythm dance last couple groups live, and I was really taken aback. It really looked like Lila and Lewis regressed a lot, even in something that is like the execution of choreography. It was low energy.
Right, which is the one thing that they always bring to the table. And I would have thought that the home crowd would have brought even more life into the performances. It almost seemed like it scared them.
The pressure, I think, was very high. It's interesting you say that because when do they ever make mistakes? Interestingly enough, remember they had a mistake on the lift at World Championships last year, which again was probably one of the most high stakes competitions they've competed in. They were truly vying for a world medal.
Yeah.
And I would argue that was the first year they ever were. You hear all the time, they practice so strong. They don't make mistakes. They're so consistent. So we're almost now seeing them as a team that could potentially crack under pressure.
Yeah, a lot of twizzle collisions happening recently.
I mean, we have also Guignard and Fabry in the rhythm dance. He kind of messed up the twizzles a little bit. Laurence and Guillaume were really out of sync in the free dance twizzles.
Oh, what is your take on the uproar of that? Because I saw so many tweets about, you know, level four for Laurence.
Look, would it have made a difference here?
That is my perspective, 100%. There's a lot of things we can pick on. It just feels like they still would have won.
I mean, when you look at their protocol, half of the judges' GOE scores are a 5 for all elements. I do think the scoring here was a little bit inflated compared to most of the competitions we've seen this year for all teams. I mean, Laurence and Guillaume at a 135. We haven't seen that score in years for any team. Do I think they can replicate that at the Olympics? Well, I think they could probably skate better at the Olympics.
Exactly.
Do I think the scores, though, are going to be the same? I really don't know. I really think they needed this big score here after losing to Chalk and Bates at the Grand Prix final to kind of stake that claim still at the Olympic title. And maybe the judges knew that and wanted to make it interesting. Who knows?
Yeah.
5 judges gave them 10s in presentation.
And this is how I feel about them. I genuinely dislike them as human beings. However, when I watch them skate, I am like, wow, that's really good.
It's really darn good. Even Barbara Fusarpoli took the loss here because even she knows they're really darn good. They're really good. Like, they're excellent.
Right. And that's how you know they're so excellent, when you dislike someone so much and you still think that. I know.
Did you hear Chris, the commentator this week, Chris Howarth? I don't remember exactly how he said it, but it was along the lines of, like, he thinks they're even a better pairing than Guillaume and Gabby were.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear him say that, but I saw the discourse after the fact.
What's your take on that? I have my take.
I don't really... You say your take, because I was never a huge iStance fan during Guillaume and Gabby, sure. So I don't have an opinion.
For me, I'll say, when I watched Gabby and Guillaume, I watched them as one. Mm. To me, they were one. With so many teams, you look at one skater over the other. With Guillaume and Laurence, I really, my eyes go more to Laurence.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good way to put it. I think what could be their downfall, though, is especially Laurence is not always consistent. And just as a new couple, they are just more prone to error. So
that's an interesting point, though. But you could also argue Maddie and Evan are not immune to mistakes either. They've fallen at some major competitions. They've fallen at the Olympics.
But that's a while ago.
Yeah, but they fall more than most teams. We'll see. I mean, we're going to find out in like 3 weeks' time. So that'll be fun.
That'll be great. It will be fun.
Do you think Guignard and Fabry now have a real chance at medaling at the Olympics?
No.
I do. I think they have a real chance. And I think after seeing Lila and Lewis this week, if Charlene and Marco skate clean and skate like as well as they did in the free dance here, I think like you can't deny them, especially on home turf in Italy.
Yeah, but I mean, we have Piper and Paul. You cannot forget about them.
I'm kind of writing them off.
No.
Yeah, I don't think they're in the conversation for the medals, especially after the outbursts in the first half of the season.
I think it depends how much the crowd is into them, because if the crowd is really into them, it's going to be hard for the judges to deny that regardless of the outbursts. And let's just wait for the reality show.
Okay, well, how about this, though? You really think the crowd is going to start going wild over Starry, Starry Night?
Please,
give me a break.
No, I mean, we don't like it, but some people love that.
Oh, yeah. The Italian people just love songs about Vincent van Gogh. They're going to be on their feet screaming.
If there's something bad about Vincent van Gogh, I don't know if he did something to offend Italians. That's why I was asking.
Any other comments here?
Yes. Allison and Saul had what I consider two fairly major mistakes, and they ended up in fifth. My understanding is Allison's little trip didn't count as a fall, which I always find confusing. It was clearly distracting and kind of took away from the performance. So that was a little...
They got dinged in their components for that.
Okay. And you know who I'm just really loving once again is La Pareva and Brissot.
They were excellent here. This was the best we've seen them all season. Like, we can't really get into the technicalities here, but they just looked stronger. Because in the Grand Prix, I was really not impressed. I felt like they lost a little bit of steam. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they were back in full form here. What we saw from them last year.
Could not agree more.
He's a really great performer. He's really stepped it up.
He is so underrated. I'm obsessed with him.
Yeah.
I mean, I could probably talk about all the dance. This was definitely the most interesting competition of the championships.
Should we talk about women?
Yeah, go for it.
Let's level set on the podium. We have Nina Petrokhina in first, your two-time reigning European gold medalist. Luna Hendricks of Belgium in second. That's a big surprise. Lara Nocchi-Gutmann in third of Italy. These women riddled with injuries. I mean, Nina Petrokhina coming back, Luna coming back, Nina Pinsarone coming back. This is really the first we've seen her this year, and Kimi Raupond. All four of those women who this quad so far have been some of the top competing European women. And honestly, they all put out pretty respectable performances. Yeah. Can I make a bold prediction?
Go ahead.
We're going to see a European woman on the world podium this year.
The world podium. I could get behind that because they will not be on the Olympic podium.
They will not be on the Olympic podium, not because they're not capable, but because they're all coming back from injuries.
Exactly.
I thought Nina Petrokina, while she was great, and I was really surprised at how great she was, I do think her free skate was overscored a little bit. A lot of those jumps were not called, and they should have been. Like, we're not going to see Nina Petrokina with a 145 at the Olympics. No. We're just not.
Well, someone pointed out that she got scored higher than Rinka Watanabe did with two triple axels that were really clean.
And I do think it's, but again, like when we said earlier about the scores, like, does it matter that it's a 145 and it maybe is a little bit inflated? No, because she would have won anyway.
Oh, for like, sure.
We can't sit here and nitpick at these scores so much when it's really not going to change the outcome. Can I say my highlights here?
Yeah.
I have three highlights.
I didn't really have any, so we'll go for it.
Maybe my highlight of the season.
Oh.
Was Josephine Tallgaard's free skate.
Mm.
I've watched that now 6 times. I really can't get enough of it. They were really hard on her in the first 3 jumps. I think they all got at least a cue, some of them under. I would have cheated for her. I would have cheated and not called anything because it was so fabulous. I've never seen her skate like that, and it's such a great program. It goes by so fast.
Yeah, she's definitely an entertaining skater to watch.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see her at the Olympics, not World Championships either, most likely. I don't think she has her world minimums. But it doesn't always matter where you have this great skate. It's just that you had the great skate. Also, Yulia Sadar, representing Romania.
That was excellent.
That free skate, she crushed her personal best by almost 9 points, and deservedly so. I think she has one of the greatest Lutzes in the women's field. Maybe the best.
She's just a great skater to watch, too. I really enjoy her programs.
And looking at someone like both Yulia and Josephine, these are like, they're older than, you know, most of the women's field. And we saw some of their best performances of their careers this weekend. How amazing is that?
Very cool.
Also, we got to call out Ekaterina Kurakova, who has really been struggling this whole quad. And she skated well here. This was her best skate in a long time. So seeing those three women, those were really big highlights for me, just to see them kind of get their flowers and have their moment, especially after years of struggling. Very inspirational. Should we move on to pairs?
Yes.
I don't have that much to say about pairs other than we've been telling you guys, we've been saying Metelkina and Berulava are coming.
Exactly. Our prediction is potentially coming true. Tune in the next few weeks to see what happens at the Olympics.
And there's something about how Haas and Vlodin have been making more mistakes this season. There's something in the air about Metelkina and Berulava. I don't even think they're the dark horses anymore. They're a favorite.
Yeah, I think, I still think Mira and Chiara, it will be hard to beat them. Conti and Machi, really big question mark right now. Like, why weren't they at Euros? We really haven't heard anything.
They're coming too. And I hope they are, because I love Conti and Machi.
To me, if they won the gold, that would be the best. Oh my gosh, I'd be so happy. And in a home crowd, like, that is what could do it.
I hope Italy medals. First of all, why am actually in the team competition, maybe I'm rooting for Italy the most.
You know what?
Because, like, USA and Japan, I'm like, we know you guys. Like, we're good. Love you. But Italy? Okay.
I am so excited to do an episode just strictly talking about the team event for the Olympics. Like, I always feel like I have so much to say about that.
I know, but we can't talk about it.
We're not.
I want to talk about it too.
Yeah, like really bad, but I just keep saving it.
Like strategically, like it's such an interesting conversation.
Right. I feel like we're going to have to talk about that maybe even next week.
Pavlovan Svatchenko here in third place. We didn't even level set on the podium. I'm so sorry. Metelkina and Berulava in first. Haas and Vlodin in second. And Pavlovan Svatchenko in third. Not a surprise. Like, I wouldn't have expected to see anybody else other than those three on the podium in some order.
It was nice to see them, too, like, just all being friends and having fun together.
Isn't that what it's all about? That's what skating's all about. Having fun. I think that's a good segue into the ISU proposed changes. And these are, I don't even know if I can call them proposed. It's like they're being discussed. But the whole idea around these proposed discussed changes is that it will bring more fans to figure skating. I would love to go through each one of these and rank them on how stupid they are from a 1 to 10. 10 being the most stupid. And I think like all of them would be like between 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go through them.
So this is like the abridged version. Two free programs. Figure skaters may be required to prepare two different free programs for the season. I don't give a darn. I don't care. I don't care if people do the same program 2 years in a row. I'd rather them not.
Right. I don't care, but I am getting really sick of Romeo and Juliet. Not gonna lie. Like, I've seen that.
By who, though?
Oh my god, the free dance this weekend. It was like Romeo and Juliet, Romeo and Juliet, Romeo and Juliet. It's a lot.
Okay, wait. I'm confused, though. Because what does that have to do with two different free programs?
Because they want to do it so they're not watching the same... No, they also want to do it so it's not repetitive. That, like, multiple people have the same songs. That's what I read. Like, if you're watching a group of six and of that group of six, three of them have the same music... That's not entertaining. They also are doing it for that reason, because then they could make someone else do another free program if they had two options.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think that happens often enough.
I still think it's stupid.
To warrant having different music.
I don't disagree with you, but that's not going to bring, and that won't bring more fans in.
And if anything, these ideas sound like more of a fan retention strategy than a way of bringing more fans in. It's stupid either way. Because I can tell them what's going to bring in more fans. You need drama. You need lore. Think of the most popular periods of time with figure skating. It was when there was some really sick, sick drama going on in the background. Not saying we need that, but that's what brings in the views, is drama. Not showing the warm-up on television. That's going to really bring in the troves of people. Oh, yeah.
Right, they just want more television views, which if you were at Worlds Boston last year, that was a sold-out arena.
So the calendar reform proposal was that the season will be extended from September to April versus August to March with World Championships in April. That doesn't make any difference to anybody. That's fine. Go ahead.
What was the one about? Did you see the thing they have to have a technical program and then an artistic program?
Here's what makes skating interesting. It's the unknown of whether someone is going to land a jump or not. It's unpredictable. If you have an artistic program, right, you know exactly how it's going to stack up. Horrible idea.
Yeah, I don't. And then that's like you have to be two separate people. Why can't we just find a way to integrate them better together?
What do you mean by two different people?
Like two different, like someone has to be technical in one way and then you turn off the technical and then you have to be artistic. Why can't we integrate it into
which is
one?
How it is now, right? Like it's literally asinine. I think these are all asinine. I think they need to go back to the drawing board. This is not it.
So do you see Christine Brennan on her redemption tour?
Her redemption tour. To be fair, I love that terminology, first of all. To be fair, like, Christine is usually pretty quiet in between quads, with the exception of when it's something around some, like, harassment case, abuse case. Like, she's very vocal, which, like, I respect her for that and, like, bringing those stories to light. But tell us, what did she say?
So her redemption tour, in reference to after her revealing Max making the Olympic team last week, she tweeted, NBC should not have fired Olympic gold medalist Gabriella Papadakis. They should be thrilled to have her on board to discuss the issues of abuse, power, and control in figure skating in her new book. We invite her to come on our USA Today Sports podcast, Milan Magic.
Love that.
I hope she goes. I want to hear.
So for those of you unaware, Gabby Papadakis released a book that detailed some of the trying times and dismissive nature and in some ways like toxic partnership with Guillaume. I won't like go into too many of the examples because I think everyone should go buy the darn book. But Guillaume, as a result, called for a cease and desist, and then Gabby was fired from her contract with NBC to commentate at the Olympics. Now, from NBC's perspective, I have to imagine there's some legal concern with having her commentate, because otherwise, just knowing NBC and any, not even just American media, but media in general, this would be a great opportunity for them to exploit something, right? So I have to imagine there is a legal concern.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have a slightly different take, because to me, I mean, I agree with you. There is a legal concern. I don't know what it is. She didn't really say anything that bad. All she did was say her experience. My perspective is every time I've had to listen to them commentate Ice Dance on NBC, Johnny Weir tries to bait Gabby every single time, or Terry, they bring up right. Guillaume when he's literally not even at the competition. And every single time, she has been so professional. So why is that going to change now?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, you don't have to talk about the
there
book.
There must be a legal concern.
There has to be.
Never went to law school. I don't know. There has to be, because otherwise it makes actually zero sense. And I think it's just horrible. And also, like, I really enjoyed Gabby's commentary last weekend at Nationals.
Well, and she also tries to, like, teach you. And maybe I'm just so much dying for someone to teach me more about ice dancing that I love that part about.
I also just value her opinion.
Speaking of commentators, did you see how Jackie Wong tweeted? He like kind of threw shade at what I believe to be the commentators of Euros. Just like, you don't have to talk during every performance. And I was thinking, because I wasn't listening on volume. So I was like, huh. That's rich, coming from, like, just watching NBC all last weekend and how they talk about everything during the skaters, not even what they're doing. I actually listened to Tanya and Chris. Tanya literally talks the whole time, and she regurgitates everything they're doing. She's like, one crossover, two crossovers. Okay, that's a double axel. It's like, okay, we know what's going on. You don't have to talk in that much detail. So I'm sorry, Jackie. You were right.
Yeah. I mean, also, he couldn't say anything bad about Johnny and Tara, even if he wanted to, because he is contracted with NBC.
Well, exactly. That was my point. Like, okay, like, let's not throw shade when you're working with people who talk the whole time. But I actually agree with his point. Well, and then, like, she would try to talk to Chris. Like, she'd try to engage him, and Chris refused to answer her. Like, it was so funny. She'd be like, well, Chris, this looks like blah blah blah. Chris, crickets.
I prefer Chris by himself, and honestly, I think Chris prefers it by himself as well. Clearly.
Oh, for sure. Sometimes I was like, is his mic, like, or his headphones not working? Does he not know that she's trying to talk to him, or is he just like, stop talking?
Totally. All right, should we wrap up this episode?
Yeah, anything you want to preview for Four Continents next week?
Not really. Honestly, not really.
You know who I'm excited to see, though, next week? Is Sui and Han. I'm just curious to see improvement.
I forgot about them.
Since we last saw them.
And I think there is, because they keep getting stronger and stronger. They're really training hard, I believe. The last time we saw them compete, I saw the fight back in their eyes, and I was like, oh. I haven't thought about them in like a month. So I think that's a great call out. I'm really excited to see Sui and Han.
Mm-hmm. I've seen their practice tapes. I watched one a month or so ago. It was much better.
Speaking of dark horses. Yep. Seriously. Otherwise, I think it'll just be like a fun competition. It'll be a great redemption opportunity for those skaters who aren't representing their country at the Olympics. Great opportunity to garner some world standing points if they're competing next season. So it'll be a fun competition. We're also going to see a few people, most likely, who will also be competing at the Olympics. Jia Shin's still on the list.
Yeah.
Haeyeon Lee's still on the list. Chaeyoung Kim has withdrew. We're going to see Emily Azingas and Vadim Kolesnik. They have not withdrawn. All right. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in for another episode. We'll be back next week for Four Continents, and then we're getting into it. It's the Olympics.
Ta-ta.
With Volley and Flip, the routine.